You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264 AS, 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Our fascinating journey through the book of Acts is almost at its end. We're in the second to the last chapter today, Acts 27. You know, Dr. McGee once said that the mark of a growing Christian is obedience, love, and fruitfulness. We don't often spend time talking about the man, J. Vernon McGee, but his life certainly reflected all three of those attributes. And we thought that you'd enjoy a few minutes of Dr. McGee's reminiscing about his days teaching at the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, or BIOLA as it's known today. Of course, what Dr. McGee loved most was his students. Here he is now.
I had the privilege years ago, back in the 40s, of teaching the English Bible at the Bible Institute of Los Angeles when it was in downtown Los Angeles. And for a time, Dr. Sutherland, the dean, was kind enough to let me be head of that department, the Bible department. And I considered it, those years there, probably the most profitable, fruitful years of my ministry. And I know that they were years that I enjoyed, and I enjoyed them because I felt God was blessing. And I'll tell you something of the background. As you remember, the 40s was the year of the Second World War. We had a great many boys. They went away to the war as boys, but they came back men. Many of them wanted to go to Bible school, and they came there while I taught Bible. That was the greatest privilege I had of teaching those fellas. And I've got them out all over the country today on the mission field. I meet them, and I suppose I'm more proud of those fellas than any other group of people that I know of. I have a letter here that's typical of the letters I get now and then from these fellas, because when they came back as men, they didn't like for me to joke or to have fun in class, and I was great at that, you know, to hold interest. We had large classes in those days, 300, I think, up to 500 in some classes, and so I could try to entertain them some, too. These boys didn't like it. They wanted to study the Word of God. Now, here's a letter that comes from one, and he says, how wonderful, and by the way, I should say, he's a pastor of a church, and I'm not going to identify him. I don't think maybe he'd want me to identify him, but he's way across the country, back east. He says, how wonderful to hear you on the radio. It has been a long time since a really screwed up young man returned from Korea. Only our blessed Lord knows what happened with those clowns in the lower lecture hall at 558 South Hope Street. Well, I can tell you about some of those clowns, as he calls them, and he was one of them that has turned out to be a real preacher for the Lord. And I'm not going to read the personal part. I have some others here, and I'm not going to read them because it does look like you're bragging. And if you want to know the truth, that's what I'm doing. I'm bragging. I've reached a place now in my life. I look back and I like to see fruit. I like to see what's happened. I can tell you about one of the fellas. I don't think he'll mind me mentioning his name. He's Dr. Royal Blue, pastor of the Valley Baptist Church up at Redding, California. He started that work up there, a little group of people, and I think he has pretty close to 2,000 members now. I think it's the largest church in the valley. And he's doing a great work there for the Lord, has done it over the years. He calls me Paul, and he says, I'm Timothy. So when he writes to me, he says, Dear Paul. And when he closes his letter, he signs it Timothy. And so I know who it is. May I say to you, God has marvelously blessed him. And he tells about what those days at Bowler meant to him. And it meant a great deal to me too, friends. These fellas are out there on the mission field. They're everywhere today.
What a great foundational legacy Dr. McGee laid. Through a life of fruitfulness that's still impacting this generation and the next for Jesus Christ. Let's pray and thank God for this time in His Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you use faithful men and women who in turn entrust the gospel to the next generation of faithful men and women. Use this program now in each of our lives to help us to be people of obedience, loving to each other, and then fruitful in ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
All right, now we got last time into the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, and we had quite an experience here in the first few verses of going down through the Mediterranean Sea. Fact of the matter is, we were told here about some unknown and unnamed friends of Paul when they came to the city of Sidon up in what is modern Lebanon. It was ancient Phoenicia. Why, we're told, and Julius, that's the Roman centurion, he courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. That was actually a very lovely thing to do. Actually, Paul, although an apostle of the Lord, and he could say later on, "The Lord stood by me," he needed the fellowship and refreshment of Christian brethren. And friends, none of us are immune to that. We need the fellowship one of another. We need the encouragement one of another. And I feel like that one of the most neglected ministries that we have today, and this, of course, is a retired preacher speaking, but in the church, is that we have probably somebody to do what is known as church visitation. But actually, this ought to be the work of many members of the church. It should be really the ministry of officers in the church. Regardless of the office, you will find that all offices in the early church were spiritual, and that every man was not noted for his business acumen, but for his spiritual ability, and they were used to minister to the needs of others. And even the great apostle Paul needed this fellowship of other believers. And I think that, if I may be personal for a moment, to me, one of the most thrilling parts of my ministry, and I've never had in my entire ministry such a wonderful blessing and wonderful experience as I've had since I've been retired. And that is going about over this country and meeting so many wonderful saints of God, and they think I minister to them. They don't realize how much they actually minister to me and what an encouragement many of them have been to my own heart and my own life. And I think that is a ministry that is needed today in our churches. There should be an emphasis placed on that of ministering to others. And I think this is a very wonderful thing to note here. Now, Paul has ahead of him, as we well know, a storm that he's going into along with those on shipboard. And the very interesting thing is that this encouragement and this refreshment stood him in good stead for what was coming ahead, you may be sure. Now, we also find that as we followed along, if you had your map, that it was a slow journey. That should have given them some indication, even the owner of the ship and the captain, that they were going to have trouble because they were not making very good time because of the weather. And they came actually by Cyprus. And the reason they did, the winds were contrary. And they came along the southern coast of Asia Minor. And you can trace their journey along through that area. And then I want to put in here at verse 14, where we left off before, It says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Now, what is Euroclydon? Well, actually, Dr. Luke here is using a very technical navigational term of that day. It has to do with the north wind, and it's north by east, which is quite interesting. In other words, down out of Europe, there was coming the storms. This was the stormy season. It was the winter season. And it was a tempestuous wind that we're told. And it was this wind that they were caught in at this time. Now, Paul and those on shipboard are going into a storm. Now, I want you to notice something here that's very interesting. You remember that when Paul was in Ephesus, in the time of the triumph of the gospel, he expressed a great desire to visit Rome. There was a yearning in his heart. And let me read that verse again to refresh your mind. It's Acts 19, verse 21. I'm reading, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now, the hour of darkness came, as you well know, there in Jerusalem, and it looked like he may never see Rome at all. And in that hour of darkness, despair, and defeat, God appeared to him to assure him. And that, you will recall, was in Acts 23:11, and I'm reading that. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. The Lord assured him that he was to go to Rome now. Will you notice, as you begin to read here in Acts 27, verse 14, let me just read down a little. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Now again, if you have a map, you'll notice that he is out there in the Mediterranean now, by the island of Crete, and he's in a difficult place to be, by the way, and he's constantly moving west. Now we find here, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. In other words, it looked like they might be wrecked here on this island, and Clauda, by the way, is a very small island south of Crete. And so they unfurl the sails, that's the way I'd say it, and they started out again. And what happened? Which, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day, they lightened the ship. In other words, they got rid of part of the cargo. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They stripped the ship to get rid of everything of any weight. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, will you notice, for 14 days, they had a rough time. And it's no small storm, we're told. Well, when Luke used that, we've already found out when he uses the diminutive like that, he means it was a big storm. Now, this was one that actually they did not think they'd come out alive. And in the storm, the voice of the Lord was heard through the lips of Paul. For 14 days, they had more wave and wind. They actually felt like this was it, that they would not come through it. But you see, the Lord had appeared to Paul and had told him, you're going to see Rome. And with that assurance, Paul now is able to stand out above the others. Now let me read Verse 20 of Acts 27. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They didn't believe that they were going to come out of this alive. Now notice, verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now that was an encouraging word, as you can understand, to those that were on board. In fact, this is all that they had to hold on to. Now, will you notice as they moved along what happened? He says to them, Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, verse 26, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, this was what had been revealed to the apostle Paul, you see. Now, if you will notice your map, that all the way from the island of Crete, or that little island of Clauda that's right beneath it, why, all the way across now, and they're coming to the island of Melita, which we know today as Malta, and they are moving now. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, now Adria is the Adriatic Sea. Now the Adriatic Sea, if you'll notice again from your map, is between Italy and Macedonia, or Greece. And they've been driven up and down between apparently Crete and Sicily in the storm. And friends, they're out in the deep. They're out in the sea. Now they have come upon the island of Melita, and what is going to happen here? About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. That's verse 27. Now verse 28, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they'd gone a little farther, they sounded again, found it 15 fathoms. Now that means that they were moving into land, you see. It's getting shallower. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Now I've heard sermons on four anchors, and I've heard these anchors labeled about everything under the sun. I think the only point that you can make here, and there's no use spiritualizing four anchors, this is not something you spiritualize. This is something very practical and very realistic. They put out four anchors, friends, because they didn't want to be cast upon the rocks. That's the reason they did. It was a storm, and it took four anchors to hold them. And I don't know how many anchors it'll take to hold you or me, and you can spiritualize, but to my judgment, that's a very foolish way to handle the Word of God. Now, let me move on. Verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Now, actually, the crew, they're taking ship leave. Let me tell you, they've gone overboard. And I mean overboard. And they are leaving a sinking ship as rats leave it. That's exactly what the crew is doing. And they're doing something, of course, that they should not have done at all. And when they did that, Paul, verse 31, now Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. In other words, the only place of safety is in the ship, not forsaking it, not going overboard at all. It's a wonderful thing to trust the Word of God. Now, I think you have that message here. You remember the angel of the Lord that appeared to Paul, and Paul says, I believe God will save the crew, but you got to stay on board. You can't do this your way. You'll have to do it God's way. And it's a question whether you believe God or not. Paul says, I believe God, and if you're going to be safe, you'll have to stay on shipboard. And again, it's a matter today of trusting God, resting in Christ today. So easy in these difficult, dark days to take matters in our own hands and desert the ship and go overboard and go over the hill, as they say in the Army, and be a deserter. It's so easy to take that course, thinking we'll save our lives by so doing. It's a matter of trusting Christ and resting in Him. Now, notice what happened when Paul gave that information to the centurion. The centurion is beginning to listen to him now, and the centurion have him cut the ropes of all the lifeboats they got there, and they have to stay on board. Let me read again verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. In other words, they'd exercise good sense and not be foolhardy. That's a lesson that's right on the surface there. Now, verse 33, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Now, as you well know, 14 days of fasting would weaken all of them. Now, Paul said, I want you to eat. This is a matter of sanctified sanity in the Lord's service. Now, they fasted for 14 days, everybody. The pagans there, they did it because they were frightened. They were scared to death. But Paul has done this, and the Christians with him, because of the fact that they are doing this under the Lord. But now they have reached land, and they need the strength. They use good sense. I think that probably in Christian work, we see less good, common, sanctified sense than in any other area of life today. How foolish people can be, and at the same time say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. Well, my friend, he expects you to use some common sense, you see. If they had escaped from the ship at that particular time, they'd have been shipwrecked. And the very important thing is for them to stay on board. Now, he urges them here to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Now, use common sense. The storm is over, and we've been brought through it. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now, God has brought them through the storm. And this is a very wonderful thing. The fact of the matter is, this is Paul's prosperous journey to Rome. Somebody says, it doesn't sound to me to be very prosperous. Seems to me like he's out of the will of God. Oh, no, my friend. Do you remember another instance back in the Gospels when the Lord Jesus one night put his own in a boat and sent him across the Sea of Galilee, and on the way over? Why, you will recall that he told him, go to the other side. And he sent them right into a storm. Now, don't say that he didn't know the storm was coming, because if you say that, you're denying he's God. And as God, he knew that storm was coming. He deliberately sent them into the storm. Now, I personally believe that oftentimes the Lord sends us into a storm. And friends, we need to remember when we're in that storm that if we're in His will and we can be in His will in the storm, that He's promised one thing. He never promised we'd miss the storm. He did promise we'd make the harbor. And that's the comfort that should come to the child of God in the time of the storm. Well, we're going to have to leave off there, but at least, friends, we're almost out of the storm. It's about over now, but we'll take our last study next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
If you're in a storm today, remember that you will make safe harbor. God promises. You can trust Him. Before we go, let me direct you to the booklet Dr. McGee mentioned today, Spiritual Fingerprints of the Visible Church. You'll find it on our website, free to read or download. Just go to ttb.org/booklets. Now, if we can help you find it or any other resource from Dr. McGee, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or email biblebus@ttb.org. Again, that's 1-800-652-4253 or biblebus@ttb.org. Hop aboard the Bible bus next time for our final study in the fascinating book of Acts. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'm going to be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our journey on the Bible bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM and W260 CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Once again, our radio ministers and preachers and all those out there in Radio Land, I pray for you this morning that the power of God will move in your life as a child of God. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners this morning. Father, once again, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of those that tuned into the broadcast, and Lord, that you would give me divine unction and utterance of the Holy Spirit, that I will speak the word of God boldly to all that tune into the broadcast. I ask your blessings to be upon the hearers, even the doers, those that do not even trust in you. I pray for them this morning that the power of the Holy Spirit will reach their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying today. And the subject that we will be expounding on is being in Christ. Being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a church building, not in some organization, but in Christ. And we want to look at what the Word of God says today. And if you have your Bible, or perhaps if you're near where you can have a pad and pen, I would pray that you would jot down these verses of scripture there so that you can relate to them at a later time. Because the most important thing is being in Christ, not in some building or perhaps part of some organization, but in Christ. Now, the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is most important. And if you have your pen, underline that, in Christ. If therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, we are new species. We are a new creation, and the Word of God tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Being in Christ is very vital and most important, because the only way we can get back home is being in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we must be in him in order to get back home. And I pray today that all out there in Radio Land, that if you want to get back home, you have to be in Christ, not in some building or organization. And I want to just reiterate that, because first of all, a lot of folks are in churches, in local assemblies, but they are not in Christ. And the most important thing is to be in Christ. The Word of God tells us that this is a preposition that is used quite frequently. And most important, because in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, and by Christ is all that we have. Praise God. So in Christ. So Paul was telling the church of Corinth there, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God sees us as if we have never sinned. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? He sees us as if we never sinned because we are in Christ. Our spirit that once was dead has now been made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into our spirit, glory to God, and brought forth regeneration. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Minister Glory, I would like for you to kind of, you know, we'll play tag team here this morning, glory to God, concerning in Christ, because the most important thing is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Apostle Paul was telling us when we are in Christ that we are what?
More than conquerors.
We are more than a conqueror.
That loved us. And that's Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
You see, everything is in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, and for Christ. Glory to God. So Paul is telling you that he said, nay, in all these things, that we are more than a conqueror. We're not just conquerors. We are more than a conqueror, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through us or the ability that we have to try and conquer situations and circumstances. No, he says that if we are in Christ, glory to God, that we are more than conquerors through him. I said through him. Underline that word, through him. Praise God. Through him that loved us. Jesus loved us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you today that when we continue to look at these prepositions and see exactly what transpired concerning being in Christ, most important, praise God, that we have what Jesus has afforded for us all through and by what took place there on that old rugged cross. Glory to God. So first of all, being in Christ, you're a new creature. Second of all, we, by being in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that loved us and gave himself for us.
Amen.
That's very powerful. And mm-hmm. when we look at what's going on there, we give God all the praise and honor and glory, because it is he and he alone that's able to make the difference in all of our lives. Let's look at another verse of scripture, because what we're doing is scripturalizing everything that we are talking about concerning what in Christ means.
Amen.
Many people fail to understand. They say, well, I go to church there. Yeah. And every time the doors are open, I'm there and I fellowship and so forth. But the question is, are you in Christ? That's the most important thing. Are you in Christ? You can be in the building and not be in Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've used another verse of scripture there concerning, what is it?
1 John 4:4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, Antichrist spirits.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Praise God. You are of God, little children, and you've overcame them. Because greater is he that is in you. Well, who's on the inside of you? We can be everywhere. Praise God. Doesn't matter where it is. But do you have the greater witness residing on the inside of you? The scripture tells us greater. Not just great, but greater is he that is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, praise God. The one that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Father, sent back the Holy Spirit to take up resident on the inside of us as children of God. Praise God. Greater. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, greater.
Greater.
Is he that is in us, in me, than he that is in the world. Well, we know who's in the world. The devil is in the world. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, because our bodies have become the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So greater is he that is in you or in me than he that is in the world.
Praise God.
Or perhaps the greater witness resides on the inside of us, according to what the word of God says. I believe it. Praise the Lord. Than he that is coming up against us.
Amen.
And that's the forces of the devil out there in radio land. So the greater witness is on the inside of us as children of God. Praise the Lord. We have that power. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 20, the Word of God tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. If you are in Christ, you have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. And we know all things. This is why we must be in Christ in order to accomplish everything that God has afforded for us to have as a child of God.
Amen.
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 In Christ.
In Christ. Everything is in Christ.
Glory to God.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
In the Anointed One.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise His wonderful name.
I know, so in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not myself, but in Christ, He strengthens me to do.
Amen. See, when we have Jesus part of the equation, then we have the capacity and the ability to accomplish whatever it is that needed to be done according to the will of God. What does the scripture say? Paul says in Philippians, he said, I can do all things. Many people today, they say, well, yeah, I can do all things. But see, they leave out Jesus. And once you leave out Jesus, it's not going to happen at all. He must be part of the equation. I can do all things. I said all things through Him that loves us, through Him that strengthens us, through Him that gives us the ability to do the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
See, through Christ.
It's through Christ.
And that strengthens us.
That strengthens us.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. So what it is that in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. You see, it's all those things that makes it possible for us to accomplish the work that God has called us all to do out there in Radio Land. And
yes,
even behind this microphone here this morning, we must constantly and continually believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything is in Him. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is why we lift Him up. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We give Him all the praise and the honor and the glory. We dare not take any credit for anything because we have no ability or strength to accomplish anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, you remember in St. John 15 and verse 5, I think somewhere in that vicinity there, mm-hmm, Jesus said, well, without me, you can do nothing.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
Nothing means not a thing. Mm-hmm. You aren't able to do anything
right
without the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's amen.
Our dependency is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, if you're trusting in anything or anybody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have set yourself up for failure. And perhaps a disaster situation. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the one. Glory to God.
He is the one.
And we are in Him. When you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, then what happened is that when you receive Him, you have everything that you need to walk this Christian journey. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need everything.
Everything.
And you have everything.
Amen.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the equation of the one that is able to meet every need that we have as children of God. Don't depend on man. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You mentioned victory, Lord Pastor.
Praise
and,
God.
1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, that's what it is. Christ has to be in everything that we're doing. Otherwise, He said that without Him, you can do nothing. So, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory, mm-hmm, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Isn't that something?
But the Lord wants us to stay steadfast, though.
Yes.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you today that it is in Christ where we have the victory. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We thank God for that. I want to just kind of tell you out there in Radio Land that because of who he is, we can face tomorrow because we are in him.
Amen.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. He paid it all.
Paid it all.
He done it all.
He has.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at another verse of scripture here because we're talking about being in Christ. And first of all, the most important thing is we look at what the word says. Now in Colossians 2 in verse 9, I want to just let you know for a moment here that the word tells us that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
I want to say that again. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Praise the
all
Lord.
Three are one. In him lives the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And now we've asked him to come into our lives. So that next verse tells us what, Minister Glory?
And you are complete, glory to God, in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
So in him. Here's the preposition in. Mm-hmm. In him. So first of all, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Mm-hmm. And then the 10th verse there, Colossians 2 and verse 10, tells us that we are complete.
In him.
In him. In Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing lacking by being in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I tell you, being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. In Christ. In him we live.
Yes.
And move. And have our mere existence or our being, praise God, in Christ. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I wonder why people feel that they can do something outside of Christ and expect victory. No, this thing is not about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And everything that he has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jesus
that
suffered the wrath of God for you. God looked at him on that cross. But let me tell you something. When he was on that cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When he was on that cross, I was on his mind. Thank God that I've been given the opportunity to look at what he's done. Receive him into my heart.
Yes.
Give him all the praise. Well, you know, Minister Glory, first of all, we talk about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we look at the word of God, God is already exalting him.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Philippians 2, let's look at what it says in verse 8 and 9 and thereafter. Praise God. Because Jesus has already been exalted. Not just exalted, but he's been highly exalted.
That's right. Amen.
And we are in him.
Right.
Glory to God.
It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him.
Amen.
And given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and then things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
According to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Praise the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are in him.
Yes.
That positionally speaking, we know who we are and that we know whose we are.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And you know who you are and you know whose you are. You know the victory that's been won for you and you know who's done it. Praise God. And you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise God.
In him we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
Praise God. What a mighty God that we serve.
Yes, we do.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was on that cross, we were on his mind.
Yes.
He went there to take the wrath of God for us all.
Mm-hmm.
He is our substitute.
Yes.
Can you imagine for a moment what would it look like for me going to a cross to do what? You can't die for nobody.
No, only Jesus.
It took one that had no sin.
That's right.
To die for the sins of the world. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I mean him. Praise God.
And that's the whole world.
Yes. Each and every day, mm-hmm. I thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for being in you. My faith is in you, not my circumstances or situations that's going on in and around my life. I am in you.
Amen.
And you are in me. And the Father, we are in us all. That's praise right. God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what now, if we are in Christ, what has Christ done for us? Praise God.
He has redeemed us from praise the curse God. Of the law.
He has redeemed us. Let's look at what does the scripture says here, because we want folks out there in Radio Land to follow us from a scripture standpoint. You can look at what we're talking about. We're not sitting here making up something. We want you to follow what we're saying scripturally. Praise God. Now, Minister Glory, you said that Christ.
Yes, Galatians 3:13.
Glory to God.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
This is why, you see, we want to walk in the things that Christ has done. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse.
Yes.
See, the curse of the law. And we know that the curse of the law was poverty is a curse.
Yes, it is.
I want to tell you, poverty is a curse because mm-hmm. the Word of God tells us that he who was rich became poor that we might be made rich. Let me tell you something here. The curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, if you go back and look at that, you see all the curses there. And the curses came upon those that failed to operate, to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. God Almighty, mm-hmm. Lord thy God. Praise God. And to do that which is right and pleasing in his sight. Mm-hmm. So Christ has redeemed. We're redeemed through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, mm-hmm. curses is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, he hung there on the tree so that I could be blessed. Amen. I'm blessed. Glory to God.
That's right.
I said, I'm blessed in Christ.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not blessed in my own ability or strength. Uh-huh. I'm blessed in Christ, that's in right. the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been accepted in the Beloved.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
Yeah, you've been accepted.
That's what it says in Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, glory, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Glory to God. So the blessings is in Christ.
Amen. In Christ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord Jesus. And look at, we want to go back to Galatians 3:13 for a moment, mm-hmm. because he said that he redeemed us from the curse of the law,
uh-huh.
for it is written, curses anyone that hangeth on the tree.
Yes.
But he said in the next verse, that the blessings of Abraham
mm-hmm.
come on the Gentiles by faith. Praise
through
God.
Jesus Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Praise God. So you all out there in Radio Land, if you are in Christ, you are blessed. Don't
Amen.
Let anyone tell you anything different. You are blessed.
Amen.
Because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the blessings are, in Christ.
That's right.
There are folks out there walking around today that are not in Christ. They are out of Christ. They have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. So let me tell you something. They have natural life, but they don't have eternal life. And to have eternal life, mm-hmm. you must be in Christ.
Right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You must have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise,
hallelujah.
Praise the
I
Lord.
Tell you, I feel like shouting right
well,
now.
Go right ahead.
Because of what? Well, we can't shout. We're trying to teach you. Praise God. So I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and let him use me in the capacity in which he desires. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you feel like doing things. But see, it's got nothing to do with the feelings. It's how the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful.
The moving of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, and by being in Christ, you know, Ephesians 2, glory to God. And verse 6 there, let's look at that for a moment, Minister Glory, because what is happening is that by being in Christ,
yes,
we've been made to sit together with him.
That's right.
I want you to read that, glory to God, Ephesians 2, verse 6.
And there. It has raised us up together.
Good God Almighty. Has raised us up together.
And made us sit together.
Wait a minute. Has raised us up together. He didn't ask us.
Mm-hmm.
He made us.
Amen.
It's so important to be in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He has made us to sit together in Christ in heavenly places.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where are you sitting today? Are you in some building or are you sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus?
Glory
now, we're
God.
Speaking from a spiritual standpoint.
Right.
Now, don't get carnal on me because the word of God is clear. Glory to his wonderful name.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to let you know today, glory to God, our time has slipped away here, but the word has not slipped.
Nope, has not.
We're out of time, but we're not out of the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because
Hallelujah.
The word is all powerful.
That's right.
And it's in our heart.
Amen.
I praise God, give him all the glory, and minister glory for the little few minutes that times that we have.
Amen.
I want you to just offer that and extend that plan of salvation, glory to God, to everybody out there.
Okay.
We don't know who's saved out there, who's tuned into the broadcast, but Jesus knows.
Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
yes, Lord,
the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever, so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you in the closing seconds here that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to receive Jesus and be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We pray for you out there in Radio Land, and God bless you all. Unto the next broadcast is our prayer.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.